John. Some of you remember a few years ago, don't you just love that? Look at all those kids. Some of you will remember that a few years ago, they brought the wall to Johnson City, and not the one that I'm sure that song was about, because that's the bigger wall. But they had the wall that traveled, and it came to Johnson City. And I had the privilege of going down to Interstate 40 at the it's on down past Bull's Gap exit, that next one down there. Anyway, and that's where all the motorcycles went to bring the wall back into Johnson City. And there must have been, gosh, I'd say 500, 600, maybe 1,000. I don't know. It was a lot of motorcycles that went down there, and we just flooded the interstate coming back up. And when we came off of the interstate there at Bull's Gap exit heading toward Greenville, it was so moving. People were in cars standing out alongside the road with their flags all the way to Greenville. I'm not exaggerating. When we got into Greenville, they had flags. They had boom trucks with flags hanging out over the road. I'd love to do it again just for the awesomeness of that feeling, showing how people love this country. When we came into Jonesboro, and they had the big flags just out everywhere with boom trucks and everything, it was awesome, and people just lined the roads all the way into Johnson City. We've got a wonderful country to live in, folks. We do. And I know we have our problems. I know that. But, buddy, we have a good country. Compared to a lot of other countries, God has really blessed us. And I just hope and pray that we realize how blessed we are. I do. Because we really are blessed. Just a second. Need to get a little extra, less light on that screen back there, because during the sermon, I have Rick's going to do something. In your Bibles, turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And if you don't have your Bible, I'd say Rick will have it on the screen. This is a very popular psalm. I've had a lot of people say I just love Psalm 19. And if you don't know exactly what's in it yet and you hear it today, I hope and pray that it becomes one of your favorite psalms also. Of course, I guess the favorite psalm of most people that we would all remember is Psalm 23. But there's so much in the Psalms that we need to learn, because Psalms has to do with your relationship with God. Now, the next book over, which is Proverbs, has to do with your relationship with man. And I just thought about that one day, and I thought, man, it's so good that Psalms comes in before Proverbs. Because if your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with man can't be right. So it's good that we get our relationship with God right. And this is one of my favorites. Now, I would like to read it with you, if you would just follow me down through here and let's read it together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a wonderful psalm. And we're going to try to tear it down just a little bit and go into it verse by verse. And we're going to talk about how God reveals himself. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. God, you've already blessed us. I want to thank you for the song the choir sang. I want to thank you for the song that John sang. I want to thank you for the Sunday school teachers this morning and the word that was shared. And God, I just pray that right now that we relax in your arms and give you the utmost attention, because you're getting ready to share a message with us from your word. And we praise you for it. And we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and your awesome Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I can understand how a man could look at the earth and be an atheist. But I cannot understand how a man could look at the heavens and say, I don't believe in God." Abraham Lincoln was a smart man. You see, Psalm 19 gives us a look at the heavens. Now, there's two parts of this psalm. The first part, we're going to look at the heavens, and the second part, we're going to look at his word. And so as we get into it, let's try to keep our minds focused on where we are. Now, creation, and this has nothing to do with tree hugging or saving the whales or anything. Not a thing. But creation is a witness to God. Plain and simple, it's a witness to God. And if I ever say from this pulpit that I was up on the mountain and looked out over the mountains of eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, and it took my breath how God had created that, and it reminded me that God was still on the throne. Don't say he's a tree hugger and a whale saver. I'm just a word believer. Amen? Because creation does speak to man. God intended it to be so. And so is everything he reveals in his word. That's why we ought to love his word as much or more than we do him speaking to us through his creation. And I do believe it's good to go out and enjoy what God has created. He did create this old earth. He created it in its original state. And then we found out on Wednesday night, and I know for you who've been coming, that this is something we've had a lot of good times with, and how he created it. And I know some don't totally agree with what I taught on Wednesday night, but it's okay if you don't totally agree. I told you it didn't matter. It's just that that's where we went with it. But I do know that God created the earth, and I do know that he created everything in it. I do know that he created everything outside of it. He is the creator. He created it all. And so creation is a witness to God. Now, in saying that, he's a witness to us in worlds, but he's also a witness to us in words. I love his word, don't you? I can go out and look at that and appreciate the moment and remembering that God created all of that. But I get into his word, and I love his word. I love how his word comes alive in me. How infinite is the universe when we look into it. But how infallible is the word of God in our lives. It never makes an error in our lives. It's always correct. It's always true. It's always righteous. God has revealed himself and what he has done. By us looking out, we see what he has done, but he also reveals himself by what is written in the Word of God. That's why we try our dead level best to get everybody to reading the Word. Read and study the Word, because it will come alive in you, and you'll see things that you've never seen before. And when you do, you can say, wow. Just like going up on the top of Roan Mountain and looking out over all those mountains in western North Carolina, and you say, wow, look at that. That's absolutely gorgeous. Well, when you get into the Word of God and he opens up that view for you, and you see those mountains, you see that ocean, you see that sunrise, you see all of that, I'm telling you, folks, it will absolutely boggle your mind as to what God has done. Now let's break these verses down and just get a little deeper in the water here, okay? Because we see that God's revelation of himself, first of all in this, in verse 1, is in the stars. It's in the skies. It's in the universe that we look up and see. And it's always good to look up. Now, David, when he wrote this, he didn't have a telescope. He didn't have a whole lot of knowledge of astronomy. In fact, his astronomy was very primitive. But there was something about him. He knew something of what God had said, and he knew that what God had said was true. And when he wrote this, when he looked out, I don't think he had to see words written on the stars. I don't think he had to see words written on the moon. I don't think he had to see a man in the moon. I don't think he had to see in things that we talk about in our life. But what I do see is when he looked out and he saw the awesomeness of this, he knew who created it, and it spoke to him. And when you know who created everything that you see with the eyes he gave you, you're going to say, wow, that's good. I know God created that. And then it's going to make some changes in your life. Because when you look out and see that, according to verse 1, we see that everything you look at out there is an unmistakable witness to God. Unmistakable. Here's what it says. The heavens declare. We know what it means to declare, don't we? It means to make an announcement. The heavens are making an announcement. They're declaring the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. So all you got to do is look out. You don't have to look for any telltale signs about how he's going to speak to you. It's not like looking at a billboard. It's just what he created, and I assure you that he created it so that it would speak to our hearts, and it does. And it's unmistakable that he speaks to us. So let's keep looking, okay? The stars are God's oldest testament. We talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, the stars are the oldest testament that man has, because he spoke to man through the stars in heaven long before we had the actual word written on pages. God, that's how God speaks to us. When Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, the only hope that they had when they were put out, because they couldn't go back in. A guard was placed with a flame and sword, and they could not go back in. No matter how they loved it, that was their home, and they were put out of it. They couldn't go back to it. But they had a hope. And their hope was that when they looked up, they saw what God had created. They saw the stars. They saw the moon. They saw everything that God had created. When they looked up, they knew that all the stars were named. They already knew this. And I don't know exactly what the names of the stars meant to them. I got a feeling that there was some message given there that wasn't in written word, but it was there for them. And when they looked up, there was hope for them, even though their hopes were dashed when they were put out of the Garden of Eden. And knowing that what God had said was really true, you sin and you're going to leave. It's not going to be yours to live in. I created it for you to come here and have a happy, peaceful eternity, but sin has come in and now you're out. But when God never whips his children to where he doesn't look at them and say, but let me show you something. I've got some grace here I'd like to show you. I'd like to show you that I'm always here, and I'm always here to hear what you've got to say. If you want to repent, I'm here to listen, and I'm here to forgive what you've got to say. So when they went out, they looked up and they saw what God had done, and I am sure that it was good for their hearts and souls to see this. But in verse 2, it tells us that not only does he do this for us, but he's faithful in doing it. Now, we all hopefully want to be more faithful. Don't we? We want to be more faithful to the things that God has given us to do. And I'm looking out at a people who were drawn to Liberty Fellowship Church for a reason. And I do believe that God was in it for you being here, because he's given you purpose. He's given you meaning. You know this is a ministry capable of reaching a lot of people, and you're one of those who's trying to reach those people, and we're going to continue to do that. But I want you to know that God is the one who is faithful. If you are faithful, you give him the credit for it. You can't make yourself faithful. But if you get into his word and you get out and see his creation and you let him speak to your hearts through creation and his word, I promise you that you'll be more faithful. Because he says in verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech. That means day after day, after day, after day, after day. It's kind of like the kid who gets up in the morning and says to the parents, we're going to church today. Seems like we go all the time. Huh? And you say, amen, get in the car. Right? Because we're going to teach faithfulness around this house, and I want you to grow up being faithful. Don't you want your children to grow up to be faithful? And didn't you, when you have the older children, didn't you want your kids to grow up being faithful? Well, God wants us to grow up being faithful. He wants us to mature and be faithful in the things he's given us to do. So the stars are tireless in their testimony of God. Just look out there. They're there day after day, night after night. They're there. You don't have to create anything. Just look up. Amen. Now look at verse 3 through 6, because 3 through 6 tells us just a little bit more about his creation and how his creation is good to us. Now I don't know about you, but already I'm inspired to be more faithful. Just knowing that what he created for me to view so that I could be more of a Christian than I am today. He wants us to grow in that. So he's given us that. And he says, and I show it to you day after day and night after night. It's there for you to view. But in verse 3, he starts it like this. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now think about that just a moment. You have a, and that song that John sang, I love that. That song, and you may have a child who lives in another state. They may be in another country, or they may be in the next county, and you never see them. They may live next door, and you never see them. You can grin. We know how that is, don't we? You know, when they're little, they want to hang around you, and you know, just want to have. But then they start growing up, and that's okay. That's part of life, isn't it? Well, except every once in a while, they could come home and say hi. Oh, I didn't know I still had a daddy and mama. It's been so long. But you may have someone in another country. You may have them in another state, another city, another county. It doesn't make any difference. The same stars you look up and God speaks to your heart are the same stars they see and he speaks to their heart. Is that what he's saying here? It's exactly what he's saying. You say, that's not preaching, is it? You're preaching about stars and moon and sun and all this stuff. And is that really good preaching? Well, you just listen. This is good preaching, folks. Because he says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. He's talking about the stars and the moon stuff here. He's talking about the things he created. They're there speaking to us. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. This is the sun he's talking about. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God created the sunset just for you. God created the sunrise just for you. This witness reaches all mankind. Everybody gets their view of the sunset, and every one of them is different. I know because I do a lot of looking and a lot of shooting. I know every one of them has spoken to my heart, and I want them to speak to your heart. When he says, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, he did something very special for the sun. He had a place for it to come out, and he had a place for it to go in. You say, it's just sunset and sunrise. No, it's much more than that. It's not, don't take it for granted. When you look out the window in the morning, I don't mind telling you, I get emotional when I look out the window and see the sun coming out up over my brother Tom's house. That's the east, you know, Lizbeth. I love it because it lights up, and boy, I say, this is going to be a beautiful day. And even if it's a rainy, cloudy day, the sun's up there. It's there. It comes out every day. And he set this tabernacle for it. He knew where it would rise, and he knew where it would set. You can go down to the beach in June, and the sun will rise here. You go down in July, the sun will rise here. You go down in August, the sun will rise here. Then it goes back. It's always in the east, but it's at different points. Look it up and see what I'm telling you. It's going to come out in the east, but it's going to be there, and he does that just for you. It will, when every time the sun comes up, if you ever notice that it's dark right before it comes up, right? We know that. I know I'm being real simple here for you, but I think y'all need it. The sun's coming up, right? And when it comes up and that darkness that you're standing in right now, it begins to go away. And the shadows that were there, they tend to be no more. Because you see, when God gives us the light, he takes away the shadows. And I